Growing your business doesn't have to be difficult. It's all about mastering a few key techniques, systems, and mindsets. Welcome to Foot Traffic, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your local business. I'm your host, Stacey Tuschel. I've been an entrepreneur for over 15 years, and I own multiple seven-figure businesses. Together, you and I are going to get you more customers in the door, more profit in your pocket, and more happiness in your home. Let's transform your business starting right now. Hey there, welcome back to another episode of Foot Traffic. I'm Stacey Tuschel, and if you know me, you know I'm a productivity nerd and a systems girl, that's for sure. And I'm really excited because today I am interviewing Tanya Dalton, who is a productivity expert, and she's the founder of Inkwell Press Productivity Company. Some of you, I'm sure, have had her tools and her planners, and her book, The Joy of Missing Out, just released, published by HarperCollins on October 1st. And if you haven't checked it out yet, some of you I know have probably seen me on Instagram shouting her out. She's amazing. And today we're talking about, basically, the book is called The Joy of Missing Out, but we're talking about that personally and in your business. So I think we experience this a lot, like when to say yes, when to, should I, and this is a client and I feel like I have to because they're one of my clients and they're paying me and I should return the favor, and all of these things pop up, right? The should-ups. We talk about that all the time. I should do this. Well, maybe, you know, and we're throwing things on our calendar that maybe we shouldn't be. And I love the title of this book, The Joy of Missing Out, because truly that is what we as entrepreneurs need to get really, really good at, because there's so many things out there. And every time you say yes, trust me, there is going to be something else that pops up and you have to say no to it because you've already put something on your calendar that you don't even really want to be doing. So we need to be really, really careful with that. Now, Tanya has been featured everywhere. Like, I'm talking Real Simple, Entrepreneur, Lauren Conrad, HGTV. Like, this girl knows her stuff. She was just named North Carolina's Female Entrepreneur to Watch, which is pretty cool. And she is a new friend, and I'm excited to introduce you to her if you have not found her yet. So let's jump right into this episode and meet Tanya Dalton. Tanya, welcome to Foot Traffic. I am so excited to have you here today. Your name just kept popping up. I'm like, I've got to have her on my show.
I love that. Well, I'm so happy to be here.
Yes, this is so good. And when I heard your book title, The Joy of Missing Out, I'm like, I don't need to know anything else. That is the best name. I am so jealous of that name. I mean, literally, I just feel like hearing that, that makes me so intrigued, and I want to know more. So I'm excited that I got to read the book already, and we're going to dive in and just share all of this with my audience today. But first, what made you write this book? Like, can you want to maybe just share a little bit of that background of how did this book come to be?
Yes, I love that question, because how do you find that joy of missing out? Why is that a message I feel is so important? And truly, I believe the book is more than a book. It's the start of a movement to really empower and equip women to let go of that burden of busy, to step into that life they're truly meant to have, to live more by doing less. And it's because I find that when I talk to women in all walks of life, no matter, you know, who they are or what they do, and I ask them, you know, how's your business? How's your life? How's your family? I hear one word again and again and again and again. And that word is overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. They're overwhelmed by all the things they think they're supposed to do, all the things that they should be doing. They're overwhelmed by their tasks. They're overwhelmed by all their obligations. They're overwhelmed by their own to-do list. And I like to say overwhelm isn't having too much to do. It's not knowing where to start. And I felt like, you know, I lived that life of being busy. I lived that where you were chasing down every task on your list, trying to check a million things off your to-do list, and slipping into bed at night feeling unsatisfied and unsuccessful, even though I was busy all day long. And that is the absolute worst feeling. And so I learned how to live a little more mindfully, how to really truly be productive. So being productive really does mean not doing more, but doing what's most important. And I taught myself how to do that. And I found that in teaching other women these four steps that we go through the book and in the Live Well Method, they were also beginning to live these better lives that were really focused on what was most important. And so I wanted to really write the book. I wanted to get this idea out into the world. I really wanted this movement to happen where we stop answering that question of how are you with the word busy.
Right. Oh my. And people are almost saying it like this like pride, like there's this badge of I'm so busy. Like, right. We just, or an excuse sometimes.
It
so
is.
We're hiding behind it for sure.
Oh, without question there. Well, there's a glorification of busy and we have to stop the glorification of busy. We wear it like this badge of honor.
Yeah.
But if we're busy and we're filling our days, that somehow equates to our importance in the world. And it doesn't.
Yeah.
Busy just means you're chasing your tail, doing way too much, running yourself ragged, stressing yourself out. So we have to really let go of that feeling that if we're not busy, we're somehow failing.
Right. Well, and I've been that girl. I've been the girl working like morning, noon to night. And slowly as I'm, you know, really delegating and building my team, sometimes now I'm sitting here even going, I feel like I should have more to do because I think I'm so used to the old Stacey who was busy. And I don't know. I feel like I'm a doer. And then I think, well, I should be doing something. So I've got to get better at just relaxing. And if I have a little bit extra time, I'm going to go for a walk or, you know, just enjoy my day. And it's so hard to do that when you are like the type A doer who feels like they need to just get stuff done.
It's true. Embracing that white space takes some effort. It takes some mindfulness at first to really reframe and to shift our mindset of what that means. And I think that oftentimes people think that self-care has to mean, you know, sitting in a bubble bath or putting on a mud mask or getting a manicure. It can be things like going for a walk. You know, if you're creative, it might mean, you know, spending 10 minutes doodling on a notepad just for pure enjoyment, right?
Right. Finding what that is for
yes.
you.
Yes. And that's the thing is it's good to embrace these open spaces of time because truly, especially if, you know, we're running a business, we're running a house, we're doing all of these important things, having that white space really allows our brain that space to breathe. It allows us to innovate. It allows us to explore ideas. And that's really when we can begin to grow into the people we want to be. We can grow the businesses we want to have. And that's really what we want out of life, right?
Mm-hmm, definitely. Well, and one thing that you had, it was like almost like an activity in the book of the number of Fridays you have left as a family or the number, you know, fill that blank. And, and that really hit me because you think, oh, my kids are little. I have a 4 and 6 year old. So we have so much time left together. When first you never know how much time you really have, but even if they are here with me, you know, in my home until they're 18, how many Fridays is that even left? And that made me stop and go, okay, I really need to start maybe doing some fun traditions here or really taking advantage of like family fun night and things like that. So I love that. But do you kind of want to just explain a little bit behind that and maybe how that's changed you for in your family?
Yes, definitely. Well, it's funny because there's this funny juxtaposition of we constantly say we don't have enough time. When it comes to the things that we love, the things we enjoy, we think someday I'll do it. I have plenty of time, right? So there's this funny push and pull of not having enough and having plenty of time. And so I really wanted to take this idea of time. Time is so abstract and our priorities are also so abstract. And I want to take these two abstract ideas and make them concrete. Mm-hmm. So I took time and I gave each year of your life a shape. And I did it for the months and I did it for the weeks. And really what I wanted you to see was time is, you know, it's a dwindling commodity and it's really up to us to use it and to maximize it to the greatest potential we've got. And sometimes when we're in the trenches, especially whether that's in work or we've got young children and we're like, oh my gosh, it's all I can do to even shower today, maybe even go to the bathroom alone. It's really hard to see beyond that, right? That this is a season in your life. And that really that time we have with our children isn't that much. You know, if we look at that map of 100 years of their life, it's less than 20% of their life that we have to impart our values, to really raise them into the adults that we want them to be and that we truly wish for them to be. And so I really wanted to take this idea of time so you could see it marching on in its physical form and start to really think about how does this feel to me? So there isn't a right or a wrong way to look at that exercise. It's not like it's supposed to make you feel terrible or it's supposed to make you feel amazing. It's just a good chance for you to do a gut check. How do I feel about how I've spent my time? And how do I feel about the time I have left? Do I feel good? And I feel like, okay, I'm on the right path. These things I'm doing are good and I want to lean into this more. Or, gosh, you know what? I think I need to shift. I think I need to change. I want to reframe. Like you said, I want to really set up some traditions to make these Friday nights more meaningful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And make them want to stay home on Friday as they're getting older and more exciting things might pop up with their friends and things like that. Because for me, I'm in my office. I am in like work mode Monday through Friday during the day. But on the weekends, I like to relax and enjoy my time with my family. But I also want to make sure they want to spend time with me. And this is a fun thing we do together. Yes. So I'm like, I need to be more intentional with this. And that was a really good activity for me to go, ooh, this is important. This was good for me to see.
I love hearing that. I really do believe that children are a part of our team. You know, we talk a lot about teams at work. And when I talk about productivity, I talk about it in terms of a lot of productivity systems or experts. They'll talk about it really focusing in only at work. And we are a whole person. We're at home and we're at work. And really a lot of what we talk about as far as productivity applies to both. And I think it's really important that we build our teams at work. We also build our team at home. That's that strong foundation we need. I like to say that we can bring home the bacon, we can fry it up in a pan, but if the kitchen is burning down around us, it does us no good.
Yeah.
Having that strong foundation of home life, of a team mentality with your family or whoever it is you live with, whether it's just a significant other or a roommate or whoever, having that foundation really allows you when you go into your workspace to be the best version of you you can possibly be. Mm. You can lean into that and feel good and secure, and then lean back and focus on family time at home. And that's really where that idea of harmony comes in.
Yeah, I love that. Well, and something you said in the book, you said like saying no means really saying yes to what you actually want to do. And I mean, that can go so many ways where, you know, whether it's kids' school activities or, you know, volunteering there or something that we're saying yes to in our business because we feel like we should be doing it or, you know, even posting on a social media platform that you don't even want to be on, but you keep hearing, but I'm supposed to be there, right? So we're
love
saying
the should on ourselves, don't we? I should be doing this. I should be doing that.
Yeah. So how do you find that balance or what kind of questions or boundaries do you put in place to really stop and say like, is this something I should move forward with? Like, how can we kind of assess the question coming in before we just jump in and answer?
Yeah, because it's really easy for yes just to slip out of our mouths, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, like, sure, no problem. Yeah.
We say yes, and it feels so good. And then 10 seconds later, you're like, oh my gosh, what did I just say yes to?
Yeah.
Right? And we want to avoid that. It's not really even just about saying no. It's about finding your yes. What is the yes that feels right for you? What's the yes that feels like the wind at your back that makes you feel like, yes? We don't want to be like, yeah, I guess, right?
Right?
We want to feel really good about our yeses. And I think that's really important because we have to realize that every time we're saying yes to other people, to their goals, to their priorities, to the things that are important to them, we are saying no to something else. And 9 times out of 10, the things we're saying no to are our own priorities, our time with our family, our own passion project, our goals, and those things. And I think that's a good place to start to really reframe and realize if you're feeling guilty about saying, you know, not saying no, not saying yes to everything, realize that with every yes, there is a no. It may be hidden in there, but you got to find it. Mm-hmm. What are you saying no to? And are you okay with that? So in the book, we go through the finding your yes blueprint. And through that, the first questions we're asking are, first of all, how does this feel? How does this opportunity feel? Does it feel stressful? Does it feel exciting? You know, let's do a gut check. And then let's ask ourselves the question of why? Why do I want to do this? And here's the truth. If you don't know why you want to do it, if you're sitting there and it takes you more than 10 seconds to come up with why this is something you should do, that's a hard no, my friend. Mm-hmm. That is a no right there. So let's check in to see if it fits your why. And then let's filter it through your North Star. So your North Star, which we talk about in the book, is your mission, your vision, your core values. So why you do what you do, how you do it, and where you want to go. And then after we go through several of these questions, then we ask, do you have the time? Because you know what I think people do? I think they think to themselves, well, I've got 15 minutes, so sure, I can take on this 30-minute task, right?
Yeah.
We're shoving 5 pounds of potatoes into a 1-pound sack.
Yeah, and then wondering why we're so overwhelmed.
Well, exactly. And so we feel like, well, if I have the time, it should be a yes. And there's that word should again, right?
Yeah.
It's not about what you should be doing. What do you want to do? Have to and want to are two very different questions. So as we're going through this blueprint, we don't ask that question of do you have time until we're about halfway through. And then if you do have the time, or even if you don't, what do you need to quit? What do you need to say no to? Because you're going to have to say no to something to say yes to this. Mm-hmm. So we work through this whole series of questions that really is rooted into what feels good to you. And let's discover what are your yeses, instead of it just being, I'm saying yes because I feel like I'm supposed to, or I'm saying yes because I feel guilty, or I'm saying yes because I can't separate the relationship from the request. We say yes all the time because it's like, well, but it's my kids.
Right.
As if telling our kids no is somehow withholding our love from them. Sometimes saying no to our kids is one of the best ways to love them, because it allows us to nurture ourselves. And when we nurture ourselves and we take care of ourselves, we're able to give our fullest selves back to them. We're happier. We're more patient. We're a better mom. We're a better wife. We're a better everything when we take care of ourselves.
Completely. Well, and I think we have this mom guilt, you know, when the volunteer slip comes home from school and we feel like, oh, I should at least do something. I should mark something off. This year, mine came home and on the bottom, it actually said like, no, I'm not able to donate time, but I would love to donate more supplies. And I was like, yes. Thank you for putting that box on that form. Like I will check that box all day long. So, you know, really just being okay with, I might not be the mom at recess, but I'm going to be really present when she's home from school after, you know, and we're going to do something fun. We're going to have a family dinner, all of that. So just finding what fits for you. I always tell people, it's like, it's got to be a good fit for your family.
I think that's so true. I just had this conversation. I was doing a speaking event the other day, and I was speaking to this woman about the fact that she was working. She's like, I like to work in the evening, and my husband and I take turns tucking the kids into bed. And she said, it was my husband's night to tuck my daughter into bed. And she came to me and she said, Mommy, can you tuck me into bed? And she's thinking to herself, I really want to get my work done. First of all, I love what I do. I want to work on it, but I'm in the middle of something. And she said, you know, I felt really guilty telling her no. But here's the thing. If you said yes at that moment to your daughter, you go and you go and tuck her into bed. And the whole time, what are you thinking about? Are you thinking about your daughter? Are you thinking about, gosh, I got to get back to that project I'm working on. And what do I need to do for this? And you're a little bit quicker with them.
Yeah.
But what if instead you said, you know what? Mommy's working right now. How about if tomorrow we add in a little bit of extra time and let's really focus in on making tomorrow an extra special bedtime, and we'll read 2 stories tomorrow night and give your fullest self then, right?
Yeah.
It really is this idea of what really works for you. Yeah, so that right there, that's a way that you said no, but it still felt really good because really on that following day, when you're doing the extra story time, you're giving your fullest self to her then. You're really focusing in on her, and that's a gift.
I love that.
And it's really more about the quality of that time than the quantity.
Yeah, and I think we're getting so caught up on quantity. You know, we have people that are stay-at-home moms and are working as well, and they're saying to me, I'm just not being good at both. Like, I'm really struggling here, and people assume because I'm home all day, I'm like the superstar mom. I'm like, I get it. And for me, I'm always just trying to figure out where is my attention supposed to be. Even if I'm, you know, home with one of them or both of them, my older one is in school, but let's say one is home with me. It's like, where is my attention? Am I actually really trying to get some work done, or am I really trying to be spending time with her? I just need to know like where the intention is for me to feel good about what I'm doing, if that makes sense.
Yes. Absolutely. It's kind of like that example we just talked about, which is better. Is it better to check that box that yes, I tucked her into bed, but I didn't really do it with intention. I didn't really focus in on her. And the whole time I could feel that impatience crawling up my back, you know, calling me to my computer. Or is it better to say, no, not tonight, but tomorrow night, I am going to give you my full attention. My computer will be closed. I will not be thinking about the project. It really is this idea that we have to get away with feeling like we need to be balanced, with this idea that everything needs to be perfectly balanced. We chase this illusion of balance, and it truly does not exist. And quite frankly, we talk about this in the book. We don't want balance. If all things are perfectly even, if all things are equal, we're not leaning into any priority. Mm-hmm. We're not really making movement forward. You have to lean into a priority and then counterbalance and then lean into another area of your life. So lean into work for a little while and then counterbalance and lean into home life and then counterbalance and then lean into a personal goal for a while. This shifting, this going back and forth and really giving some time, focus, and energy to the things that are important to you and then counterbalancing, that's this idea of harmony. If we're really striving for like equal time at work and equal time at home and equal time in our personal spaces and equal time everywhere, we're stretching ourselves far too thin. Yeah. And we're not really living in the moment and really enjoying it.
Yeah, absolutely. I could not agree more. Now you're definitely a systems girl. I reading through your book, I'm like, oh, I love this. Like routine is just my best friend. So I want to hear a few routines, whether it's personal or business, something that, you know, just has been a game changer for you. And I'll kind of give you an example to get your mind going. But like you said, laundry on specific days or like really having things like that. So can you share a few tips that maybe our listeners would go, oh my goodness, I need to start incorporating this.
Yes, absolutely. Because you're right. I am a systems girl. I love systems. And part of the reason why I love them so much is that it really does take the thinking out of it.
Yeah.
Our brain has literally a certain amount of calories it's allotted every day. Our brain is 1/50th of our body mass, but it burns 1/5th of our calories every day. Every single day, 1/5th of our calories goes to our brain. So we can choose, do we want to spend those calories, you know, doing the work that's going to drive our business forward? Or do we want to think about laundry?
Right.
Where do we want to spend our calories? I can guarantee you right now, there's not any woman listening to this podcast is like, boy, I really wish I could think about laundry a little bit more. Right?
Right.
So we want to take the thinking out of it. And by setting up automations, which sounds technical, but it's really not. It just means work that happens automatically. Setting up automations so you don't have to think about it really allows you to spend those calories of your brain where it matters most, on the work you're doing, on your goals, on your passion project, instead of focusing on laundry. So for me, when my kids were little, really before I had kids, I started this routine of doing laundry on Tuesdays. Every Tuesday was laundry day. I was really sick and tired of running out of clothes or stepping over clothes in the laundry room. And so I decided to start doing laundry on Tuesdays. Well, then I had my kids. And my kids somehow have 300 pounds of laundry every single week. I'm not sure how it works, but somehow it does.
Yes.
And so I started doing this routine where Tuesday was the kids' laundry day. So every Tuesday, I would call up the stairs and I'd say, it's laundry day, come downstairs. And my kids, when they were itty bitty little kids, so even as young as like 3 years old, mm-hmm. I would buy them laundry hampers that they would drag down the stairs and they would bring their laundry down. And every Tuesday was laundry day. So eventually, I no longer call on Tuesdays and say, hey, it's laundry day. They already know today is Tuesday, it's laundry day. Okay. So then I started doing this whole system where I would stand over them, you know, as they got older, and I would help them sort the laundry. And it took a lot longer. I could have sorted it myself, but I was investing in my kids.
Right.
And so they started sorting their laundry and I would stand over them. And then eventually I stopped standing over them. And then the next step happened where they got a little bit older. And then they started doing their laundry where they sorted it and then they popped it into the washing machine. And you know who does my kids' laundry now? Not me. I don't do my kids' laundry because—
Amazing. How old are your kids?
So my kids are now 12 and 16.
Okay. And that's like amazing.
You know, here's the thing is we as moms, we really want to set our kids up so that they are successful adults.
Absolutely.
And when we allow them to be, you know, part of these systems, we're giving them the tools so that when they fly our nest, they soar. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we want. Most people are not born with this productivity gene where they know how to do things, or they know how to do laundry, and they know how to you know, really focus in their time. So it's our job to really help give them those tools. And so that's what we do. On Tuesdays, laundry gets done. Well, now my kids do it on Mondays and Tuesdays. They each have their own day, but I don't have to remind them. I don't have to ask them about it. I don't have to worry about it. It happens automatically. And so we go more in depth in the book with how you can use different automations. But it's this whole idea of let's stop worrying and stressing about laundry for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. Let's use our brains for what is really going to matter in life, the things that are truly important. Let's take the thinking out of it so those systems can run without us having to put in a lot of that brain power.
Yeah.
And let's just have it run.
Yeah.
And bring in our team. There's that whole team mentality again, bringing in your team so that you can work together. I think all of that really, you'll see that theme again and again, where I talk about how the teamwork works, how we do team planning on Sundays and how we do the team laundry and bringing all that together so that mom isn't the cruise director and running the whole shit. Because that's what happens is we think we have to do all the lifting. We have to direct everybody with where they have to go. We have to drive them everywhere. We have to do all the chores. We got to, you know, nag them all the time. I don't know about you, but nagging is not my favorite pastime. I can think of about 3,000 other things I'd rather do. And by 3,000, I mean 3 million.
Mm-hmm. So I want to ask you a question. I feel like some moms think they have to be doing this. Like they're thinking, almost feeling guilty, like they need to, or some moms are feeling like they want to do it because they want to be wanted, right? Like I feel like there's some mixed emotions that probably come up with this. Have you seen this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I want to hear more about that.
Well, I think a lot of that is rooted in this idea of perfection, that we want to have this whole facade where we look like we've got it all together.
Yeah.
Right. And I like to tell people that perfectionism is really rooted in that fear of failure, of having other people see that maybe we don't have it all together. Right.
Right.
And so in an effort to have this perfect facade, this perfect life, we want to do it all. We have certain ways that things have to be done because other people don't do them right. But then we get frustrated when our teens don't pitch in. We get irritated that nobody else is loading the dishwasher, but we're going right after them and reloading the dishwasher after them, telling them, showing them that they're not doing it right. Well, no wonder they stopped loading the dishwasher. You told them they did it wrong every time.
Right.
You know? And so we have to let go of that. We have to let go of some of those reins and really embrace a little bit of imperfectionism. I think we are all beautifully imperfect. And I think we need to embrace that in our lives and in ourselves. And letting go of that isn't a simple, you know, like, oh, flip the switch and now it's done kind of a thing. It does take some work. It takes, you know, having conversations, but starting to move things over, starting to delegate over to our team and looking at delegation as more than delegation, as development and helping our team run smoother and faster and better and increasing their skills. When we shift that mindset and we look at it that way, it's easier to let go of some of those perfectionism tendencies we have. I like to describe myself as a recovering perfectionist because once you're a perfectionist, it's not like you can just turn that off. It's, you know, it takes a conscious effort that I have to ask myself, you know, am I redoing something? Am I nitpicking something to death because I'm trying to make it perfect? If my kids try to do something perfect, I tell them perfect doesn't exist. I say, oh, there is no perfectionism. There is no perfect, yet I'm chasing that myself.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it's good too, I think, for your kids to see that you're a person, that you have flaws and that you are not perfect. I think that when we realize what we're doing when we're role modeling for our daughters, we are role modeling what a woman is capable of and what real life looks like. And when we realize that we are role modeling for our sons, what a woman is capable of and what a beautifully imperfect woman looks like, that creates lives for them where they understand that, it doesn't have to be this way, right? Where life is achievable, life is happy. And I think we undervalue that whole idea of what is happy because we're so busy chasing perfect. We're so busy chasing busy down, trying to do it all instead of really focusing in on what truly matters most to us.
Yeah. I mean, I've been busy for so long that like sitting on a Saturday sometimes can be painful. And I still just make myself do it or watch Netflix because I'm thinking I have to just take that time to just rest, recharge, and not do everything. And one of the things that I realized I was doing maybe a year or two ago was I was really saving all of this work for like personal work for the weekends. And I thought, okay, if I can just focus on my business during the week and then do this stuff like laundry and everything else on the weekends, that'll be the best way to do it. But then I was so exhausted on Monday morning that that really wasn't helping. So I've really started putting my systems in my days of doing this personal stuff during the week.
And then
I, of course, outsource some things too. But on the weekends, I'm really not trying to be cleaning the house all weekend because that's not helping my business either when I wake up Monday morning and I'm exhausted from working hard all week and all weekend.
You mean you don't want to spend all day Saturday scrubbing toilets?
That's not really, no.
I know. And then we wonder why we're worn out and we're exhausted and why we're like, oh, it's Monday, when we really need to be able to recharge. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things we talk about in the book is that we believe that periods of rest are a reward for great work. Yeah. It's actually a requirement for great work to happen. We have to have an inhale so that we can exhale. Yeah. If we don't give ourselves these open spaces of unrushed time, if we don't gift ourselves the ability to slow down and take a break, we can't keep going. Yeah. You know, we think nothing of taking a break when we're working out. We run several miles and then cooling down for a little bit, right? But we think that our brain can work on, you know, the full max capacity all day long. And it doesn't work that way. Your brain literally, physically does not work that way. And so we need to be able to embrace that idea that we need some rest and recovery so we can be our best version of ourselves.
Yes, I love that. So you said taking a break is not a reward. It's a requirement. That is so good, Tanya. So good. And I think a lot of us are treating it like a reward. Like we're not going to get to do whatever that is until we've done this. And, you know, sometimes we just need a break, especially after lunch, hitting that like 1-2 o'clock. For me, I just got to get outside, get some fresh air, take a 20-minute walk or anything like that. That will help me kind of get back in the office and really give a good amount of effort at the end of the day without feeling just drained.
Well, it's amazing how much better you feel when you do that for yourself, right? Definitely. I feel like we don't think we can allow ourselves that time. Oh, I don't have the time. I'm too busy to go for a 20-minute walk after lunch or anything like that. But then when we go back to our offices after we've done that, our work is so much better because we're recharged. So really, that's a more effective use of our time to take the break because then when we get back into work mode, we're raring to go. We're ready to go. We're doing better work than if we had pushed ourselves through.
Yeah, I absolutely. And it's so many of us sit in our office on the computer and we're barely hitting the 10,000 mark because we're the 10,000 steps because we're just sitting all day long. And I think getting up, moving around, you know, getting that workout in is going to be so helpful too, to continue with these systems and automations and resting and recharging.
So true. I absolutely agree. One of the things I teach people to do, because we talk about habits in the book and we talk about what cues habits. So let's say that you are a person who takes a lot of phone calls. Every time the phone rings, pick up the phone and instead of sitting at your desk, walk around your office. You know, give yourself reasons to get up, to recharge, to get a little bit of physical exercise, to rest your eyes, to explore something creative during your day. You know, to maybe even close your eyes and take a quick little nap. That's okay too. In fact, most people who are truly productive take naps in the afternoon.
I know, it's crazy. So crazy. So with these systems, one of the things that I did as a result of the book was I feel like I am always just kind of being like, you know, I'm going to clean out the kids' closet today, or it's time to clean out the pantry. But it was really just me remembering. And after your book, I went into my calendar and I actually put specific months or like dates that would make sense for me every August before the kids
came to
school. Yeah, I was like, oh my goodness, this is perfect because you're right. I let things go too long. And then finally, when I have to get in there to do it, it's just a hot mess. So
and you don't want to do it. You've been putting it off because it's such a monster, right?
Yeah. So I put things in there like, you know, the kids' closets, my closet, like the bathroom closet, the mudroom, the pantry, all of this stuff. And that I had never done before. And I am like this productivity junkie. I've read everything out there. And that was something that brand new from your book that I did. So I appreciate that. And I'm sure there's so many things as a business owner that we could be doing too to say, okay, you know, December 15th, like goal setting time, or take time over after Christmas break to really work on that. So I want my audience really to be thinking about what do you need to be doing personally and in business. And then Tanya, I want to ask you, when you're kind of doing these reminders or triggers, where are you putting them? Is this like a Google calendar? Is this in a project management system for you? How do you try to remember this?
Yes. So at work, what we do actually is I use a tool like Asana or Trello. We use Asana in my office. And so because all these things that we're talking about apply at work and they apply at home. Yeah. I like to tell people that your home is a business. You can run it just like a business. It's a nonprofit. Yeah. The product we're creating is wholesome kids with values who are, you know, well-raised, who live to our family mission statement. That is what we're really trying to create. So everything that we do at work, we can really apply at home. So at work, I use Asana, and I do that because I have one of my team members is our project manager. And so what she does is she puts these projects into our calendar, and it automatically pings people when it's time for these things to be due. Yeah. So then me as the CEO of the business, I'm not stressing about when is inventory happening? When is, you know, when are we surveying the customers? Because it's pinging the people automatically. Now with my family, we have it printed out and we have it in part of our family HQ area, which is where we post things like our weekly Kickstart, we post our family calendar and those things. And so we do an exercise called team planning every Sunday. Okay. Gather together as a team. This is that whole team mentality again, where we come together, we talk about what's going on in our week. We really make it so that each person is responsible for themselves. So what day do you have play practice? What days are volleyball? Who needs to go to the dentist this week? And all of that is written out. And while we're doing this whole team planning, and I actually have a video on Tanya TV, my YouTube channel, where I walk through and you see me actually doing this whole exercise with my kids.
Oh, amazing. Okay, we'll link to that in the show notes for sure.
Yeah, I think it's really helpful sometimes to see it in action.
Yeah.
But during that time, we also pull out that automations calendar of what needs to happen this month. And then I assign it to the kids. Okay, you know what needs to happen this month is we need to touch up the paint. So Jack, you're in charge of touching up paint. Kate, the baseboards need to be cleaned off. So Kate, you're in charge of cleaning baseboards this month. And we divvy it out. So again, we're working as a team. Right. I'm not doing all these things.
Yeah.
Oh no, I don't need to be cleaning baseboards. My kids can do that. They're closer to the ground than I am. So yeah, so we start divvying it out. And so we keep that as part of our, as our family HQ area.
Okay. I love that. Yeah. We're going to link to that video in the show notes. That'll be super helpful. Tanya, this has been so fun. Can you tell everybody where they can find this book and just like everything that you have out there? Where can they go?
Yeah. So you can go to joyofmissingout.com to find the book. It's available though, anywhere books are sold. It's at Target, Barnes and Noble. It's on Amazon. So you can get that anywhere, but joyofmissingout.com shows you all the links and there's all kinds of resources because we have discussion guides that go with the book. There's an email companion series. And if you're interested in learning more about me, I have a website, tanyadalton.com. So Tanya with an O and a Y. And you'll find links there to my podcast, Productivity Paradox. You'll find links to my Tanya TV episodes and lots of different blog posts and resources to help you really feel productive.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like you said, I am as systematized in my home as I am in my business and they go hand in hand. If you're off in one of those areas, you're just off because you can't, there's no way they don't mix. So I love that you are helping us put these systems in place. This book is great. You guys go check it out. The Joy of Missing Out. Tanya, this has been so fun. Thank you so much for spending time with us. I appreciate you so much.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This was great. I love chatting with other people who love systems as much as I do.
Yes. I'm a systems girl too, so this was fun. Thanks, Tanya.
Thank you.
And that's it for another episode of Foot Traffic. But don't worry, if you're craving more business building guidance, I've got two places to send you. First, be sure to join our free Facebook group at foottraffic.club. You'll get support from other small business owners like you, plus exclusive content from me. And if you're looking for more actionable advice and step-by-step resources for getting more people in the door, head over to foottrafficpodcast.com. It's time we take your business to the next level.